This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Show Readers, episode 592. I'm your host, Andrew.
Hey, guys. I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the places that you can find podcasts. We are there. And thank you for tuning in. Daniela, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Just relaxing. Nice 3-day weekend. Not that I have anything special planned. Been trying to thinking about, for me, I know for some people it's blasphemous, but for me, it's already Halloween season. I'm sorry.
Already?
So I'm getting in the mood for that. It is. It is for me.
Wow. That's early.
It's not early. It is the right time.
How is that the right time? We're a whole month plus out almost.
Halloween gets like 2 months. To enjoy it. Come on. If they can start putting Christmas decorations out in August, I can at least celebrate Halloween in September.
I never took them down.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. My tree's been up since last year.
Man.
Yeah, it was a weird year. Like, we extended the Christmas tree season. We left it up. So we don't even have to take it down because it's already ready for this year.
Nope, I took mine down like the first week of January. Christmas is done. It is out of the way.
So you're going to put it up, November, right after Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
Okay.
It depends because if my son gets his orders to go to boot camp, because he requested sometime in October. They still don't know when. He has no dates. There's still people waiting that were accepted before him. So, maybe if, we'll put it up before he leaves, because he's been in charge of putting up and decorating our tree for the last 7-8 years now, so maybe I'll have it up earlier than that, depending on when.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. So this show might be the shortest show we've done in a long time. I know we say it all the time, but I think this one is it. In terms of topics, we're going to talk about the Spider-Man recent teaser trailer, a Batman trailer. Question of the day, I guess we can say this, is YouTube doing it better? And we'll close out with PlayStation Showcase, what to expect. And I think that's it. So, I really do want to jump in. Is YouTube doing it better? Because I think that conversation can be like the bulk of the things that we talk about today. But that's just me. That's just how I'm thinking about it. But we'll do it by the order that we currently have it. Spider-Man No Way Home, teaser trailer. Danielle, what'd you think?
I thought it was fantastic. And I think I am pretty much in the same group of people like online. Where, like, it kind of felt like, oh, okay, we got a trailer. All right, cool. We already kind of know what it's going to be about and it's going into. But then seeing it, like, you're just pumped.
Right.
And I gotta be honest, though. I think of all of the Marvel trailers that have been out there. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was really great. Their trailer was really awesome. But time and time again, every time I see a Spider-Man one, it's hype. It is exciting. It is fun to watch. It gets me excited to watch it. So I really like this one. You're being introduced to the multiverse. Obviously, there's a lot of like Reddits and subreddits that are talking and just analyzing the trailer. You're having Doc Ock back in there is fantastic. Like, the trailer just did not disappoint.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think that I don't know what the separation or the division is when it comes to certain trailers or certain characters in a Marvel universe. I think that Spider-Man, for me, as we talked about in the past, has always been one of my favorite characters, even right now. And whenever I see they add new characters in the world, or we finally get to see a movie from a character that we haven't seen yet, I think that stuff is really exciting for me. Like, even, it's not necessarily Marvel Universe, even Snake Eyes, I'm going through that right now. And just watching different characters come to life on the big screen, I look forward to stuff like that. I don't get lost in the weeds with, as you mentioned, for different reasons, right? People get lost in the weeds with the Reddits and subreddits of different characters. Should they be in there, not be in there, whatever the case might be, whatever that conversation is for that particular character. But I just love and appreciate the fact that we are in a place now where technology has gone so far, where we can enjoy the characters as we've read them in the comics, right? And I think that alone for me is a big deal as I'm watching the Marvel Universe unfold, and of course DC as well. So seeing the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, I think, was fantastic. Just another thing to be excited about towards the end of the year.
It is. I just, right now, I'm at a point where I really wish some of these movies are going to be coming, like I want them to open up in theaters too. But like Shang-Chi, that's the current Marvel movie that's out that's having a great opening weekend. I can't watch it because we don't have a movie theater. The next closest movie theater, well, okay, we kind of have a movie theater. It's on one side of the island, but it plays like movies that's been out for 2-3 months already. And it only plays one movie because it only has one screen. And it's kind of it's not like a great theater. The one theater that we did have that was always getting the new releases shut down due to COVID last, I want to say May, I think it was April, May. It was one of the very first places on the island that got hit really, really hard because of all the lockdowns. So the next closest one to see new release movies is in Oahu, which is having huge case spikes. And I don't even want to deal with that mess over there. And as much as I want to see any movie, not enough for me to buy a ticket to fly over, watch this movie. I mean, I'm going to have to make a whole trip out of it. And I'm not at that point. But I don't even want to like fly to go to any conventions, which bless the people at PAX West right now. I that's kind of what I want is like, I wish these things were still going to happen. So many movies I want to watch that are coming out.
Well, I got good news for you. I got good news.
What is that?
So the good news is you may not have to wait that long for it to come out on Blu-ray and stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I was told, I think it's going to be, at least for Shang-Chi, that's going to be on Disney Plus October 22nd. So
yeah, I'm hearing October. Right, exactly. So you may not even have to leave your house.
I know. That's the nice thing. I just got to wait. I got to be patient.
All right.
And I think that's one of the things. It's hard to look at the last year and a half going on 2 years here. You know, of these lockdowns, of these regulations, which I personally totally understand and I'm on board with, I'm okay with. But to see a silver lining in there is that certain things you're so used to having on demand now because people are having to think of ways like, how can we get these into people's hands faster?
Exactly.
I got really used to that, and I'm like,
and you have to admit it has changed because it used to be 3 months.
Yeah. So definitely a change there. We'll see how it goes. We'll see.
Yeah, it should be good. October is not that far away, so we're right around the corner, so I'm excited about that. Next thing we got is Batman trailer. I am super pumped, and I didn't even realize how much until I saw this trailer. But I definitely want to hear your thoughts on the Batman trailer that we recently got. Danielle, what's up? Whoa, whoa. What's going on?
What's going on? I'm pumped about it.
Oh, come on.
No, it's good. It's good.
Okay, so.
It's still the same DC dark nitty gritty.
Yes.
And, you know, I try really, really hard every time where certain heroes or certain, you know, characters are casted with certain actors. You have to really see past, you know, that actor's past history and characters that they played. And Robert Pattinson, I don't know. I'm not trying
what
to
do
stick
you mean
with the
you
whole,
don't
like,
know.
Twilight thing.
What do you
the
mean?
I don't know if I really see him as a Bruce Wayne Batman. It's like some of it looks pretty badass. It looks I am very hopeful about it. I'm down for it. Obviously,
okay.
I'm going to watch.
What is really going on? What's really going on? Like, what do you think is the hesitation to embrace this actor and this role? I guess that's a good question.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a hesitation. It's just, well, maybe it's a little bit just because it's going to take some getting used to, but seeing where it really, like the movie really itself, okay, the storyline really fits in with the bigger picture of everything in an entire DC world as such. I think Zoe Kravitz being casted as Catwoman is fantastic. Jeffrey Wright as
Commissioner
Gordon is amazing. But, you know, Pattinson as Bruce Wayne, just give me some time for it.
How much time? Yeah. So how much time are we talking
about?
Till I watch it. So you watch
it's
it.
It's kind of like when Ben Affleck was casted as Batman. That was like a little bit weird too.
So forget about.
I really dug it. Once I saw it, I think within like the first like 10 minutes of the film, I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Okay. So forget about additional trailers that we may get before Batman. You just want to watch it and then determine if your hesitation is warranted. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so. I guess you can put it that way. I mean, I'm not going to jump on board with it immediately. Does it look really cool? Yeah, it does. But you're not seeing how he's bringing like his version of Bruce Wayne to the screen yet. You don't know what it's going to be like. I mean, Val Kilmer makes a terrible Batman. But he's not a terrible actor.
Okay. That's fair.
Put that out there. So you don't know what to expect fully, but what I see so far, I do like, and I am interested in it, and I'm pumped to watch it. It did not get me the same, like, oohs and ahs and excitement as watching the Spider-Man trailer, but I still want to watch it.
Okay. That's fair. I like what I'm seeing. I like the gritty, the dark, Batman stuff. So I'm looking forward to how that's going to translate to the screen as well. So I'm kind of waiting, but I'm not waiting with, I guess as much hesitation because DC is a world that you love and you know more about it than I do. So there are things that you're probably looking for that I do not even know to look for or not look for, if that's fair. But I am excited for more superhero films.
I do like the Batmobile.
Yeah, it looks dope.
That Batmobile looks really sick, and I like how it's kind of really drawing from, like, you know, the comics, that their iterations of it. I think looks fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
But I will say, I think the one I am even less on board for, and this is because I seriously think that Danny DeVito as Penguin is just fantastic and nobody can outdo him for that one, is Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell is a great actor. I enjoy watching the movies that he's in. That one is clearly, I can say there's some hesitation for me on that one.
Yeah. Okay, so then we're in a wait-to-see mode with this one.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be disappointed, though. What do you think?
I don't think so. I have high hopes for it, but I'm still trying to be like realistic about it.
Okay. That's fair. I dig that. All right. So this conversation is one that I wanted to have with you, for some time. And I think it's interesting with what we're getting with, streaming platforms today. There's so many different options. Really, there's three, right? That we can look at, and say, hey, I want to spend my time here or there as it relates to Facebook gaming, YouTube gaming, and Twitch. Now, Twitch has been under fire lately, as you know, and for good reasons, right? Trying to put moderation tools in place to make individuals feel safe on the platform. So I guess the broader conversation I want to have, and we can just, you know, go back and forth on this a little bit, is which platform is doing it better? Is YouTube doing it better? What are your thoughts on Twitch right now and in YouTube as a streaming platform of choice?
Twitch is severely lacking, and it has been. It has been for years now. It's not like everything that is coming to light now is something new. It isn't. It has been going on since, you know, Twitch really started and really started picking up traction. And the bigger it gets, the more people that are on there, it just kind of is just getting worse. And it's just kind of, you have, you know, streamers who are just getting so sick and tired of it. And there's certain people who get, like, who have put these complaints in. And I don't even want to say it's complaints, because that's just lessening, like, what they're trying to speak up about. Putting in their concerns and voicing them. I feel like some of them get punished for it in a way. Like, they're not given any avenues to fix the harassment or the problems that they're coming across, whether it be hate raids or just harassment / stalking. Like, Twitch doesn't do more to help people. And the fact that I think it was a few days ago, they sent out some mass emails of like, yeah, thanks, we heard you, here, do these things. Those are things that people are already doing. And it's obviously, it's not enough. You can only do so much on your end as the consumer, as the user. And there's people who are coming out with tools to try to help people. But Twitch has some responsibility in that too, to make it a safe place in which they, you know, they advertise, that's what they want to be, but they're not doing anything. So there's a lot of frustration behind that, a lot of disappointment. And it's like, you're doing too little, too slow. Like this should have been something that was on your board years ago.
So what is really happening? Is it that they don't care? I mean, that's broad, right? That might be a little too aggressive, but do you think that they care about individuals on their platform experiencing different situations like hate raid and harassment and, you know, different things like that? Because I thought at one point they tried to put a team in place or some counsel in place to try to get a community feedback to implement stuff. Like, what was that whole thing about, you know, back whenever that was, a year, 2 years ago?
You have those. I forget what that actual team, I guess you want to call it, is called. But you also have the ambassadors who have, you know, I won't name them offhand here because I don't have their permission to. But it's like, I've gotten a few DMs that are like, hey, we've been trying. And I'm like, well, I'm not saying this in terms of any ambassadors of not trying to put their voices heard, because they have a little bit more accessibility to, you know, Twitch and the team over there. I just feel like they don't have it as high of a priority.
Right.
Which I think is so ridiculous. Like, in the end, like, yeah, Twitch started off as this, like, you know, small platform, a bunch of friends who just want to share gameplay, hang out. Now they are a full-fledged business. They are owned by Amazon. And even though like there's some been some cases where the Twitch team has says like they're almost like a separate entity from Amazon, even though that Amazon owns them, they're not being directly like, you know, controlled by them.
Right.
But it's still a business. They still got to make money. So it's not, to me, from my perspective, it's not as high of a priority because they still have a huge amount of content creators that are still going to stream on there who aren't necessarily experiencing that same type of harassment and that, like, okay, well, these money makers here aren't making as big of a voice about it, so we won't put as much resources towards it.
Right. Like, one of the things I like about this conversation is, like, we really didn't, like, talk about how or what angle we're going to play, which I love that part, when it comes to certain topics. So, but I do have some questions for you in regards to, you know, just open it up and chop it up a little bit in regards to this. Like, what is the future of, I guess, individuals who have spent time on a platform already? Do you think it would be, I'll ask this question, an easy transition for them to move to from Twitch to either Facebook Gaming or another platform? Do you think that's an easy move for them? Do you think that as the lines are no longer, I say blurred, but it's getting to a point where all the platforms are going to offer pretty much everything almost exactly alike to some degree, but it's just the base of individuals and what it would allow one person to get to, like, a verified status or, you know, those kind of things. So will it be an easy transition for anybody moving from Twitch to YouTube? I guess we'll start with that question. We'll kind of chop it up a little bit.
That really depends. I think, if you are fairly new to the platform, by fairly new, I want to say maybe 2 years. 2 years and you're doing it casually. I think it would be a lot easier. Because you don't have as big or as long of a history with that platform to transition and to move over.
Right.
Which would be very, very different if you've been doing it for 2 years and you're like, you've been grinding hard, you've been, you know, really putting a lot of work and a lot of effort, then that would be just as hard as somebody who's been on there for 3 years, 4 years, longer than that. It's not a simple thing where, like, okay, guys, hey, I'm leaving. Goodbye. I'm going over and trying this one. Follow me over there. You know, subscribe to my YouTube channel or like me on Facebook or anything like that. I'm going to be trying Glimish. It's a little bit harder because people are definitely right now, because Twitch is still kind of that reigning supreme on live content. People are very conditioned to tune into Twitch first. They've gotten very used to, you know, I guess the user experience.
Right. And, which that we'll go into the next conversation surrounding big players moving from Twitch to YouTube. We'll definitely have to touch on that. And then the other thing too that we should touch on, because it's really, really important, that the main secret sauce to most of these platforms, watch time, right? But you get rewarded for watch time, you get rewarded more on YouTube because the more people watch, the easier it is to discover your content. Twitch, you're really by yourself unless you have individuals that are constantly promoting your stuff, and your community is different in the way it's built than it is on YouTube, right? Just on the discoverability aspect via watch time specifically for YouTube. So now you have that to deal with. And then you have the the option of the transcoding situation, which, you know, to some, it's a big deal, and it should be, because you don't get full options of transcoding on Twitch unless you become partner, versus having that right out of the gate with YouTube. And I want to mention that because it's important, because individuals need to know that as they weigh out what options they have in terms of quality for their viewers on the platforms. I guess we could chop that up a little bit. Managing your income stream should not be a hassle. That's why I use Catch Financial. As an independent, Catch allows you to manage your income streams on autopilot, prepare your taxes, and more. To get set up on Catch, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools.
Yeah, so that is also a hard thing. As a content creator, once you start diving into it, you realize how you need to learn different skills and different methods for whatever platform you're going to choose to be on. Right now, like, Twitch has that standard about what to expect. And like you're saying, you're like, on Twitch, you're kind of on your own. You're trying to advertise yourself. There's no real surefire way on discoverability. YouTube, that's different. Facebook, that's different. Glimish is pretty similar to how Mixer and Twitch does. It's a good mixture between the two on discoverability, your tools that are available out there. That you kind of have to learn those things. And if, like, whether you be a new content creator or a seasoned one, going to a different platform just to try it out or trying to expand your reachability is a whole different mindset that you have to adapt to, that you have to learn. I like how you're having me answer all these things. You're not adding all your stuff in.
No, because I mean, you spend more time on a platform. I think you would be considered the expert here on Twitch, right? I spent a little bit more time on YouTube to get, you know, 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours to get the YouTube Partner Program. That in of itself is a lot of hard work. But it doesn't have to be, right? Because I think once you set systems in place, I guess we can talk about that from the YouTube's perspective. Once you set a particular system in place for the platform that you decide to stay with, right? Then you'll realize what's going to be beneficial for you by way of, like, you know, your titles, descriptions, and tags and stuff like that, especially on a YouTube platform. But I think that it all comes back, as you were saying, consistency is extremely important on any platform that you decide to use. But the thing is, with YouTube, your videos are never dead, if you will. Right? Because at some point, if you formatted the video in such a way where people can rewatch it, even if it's a stream or not, that video still has life versus a VOD on the Twitch platform. So I guess, you know, I'll talk about from the feature standpoint. A VOD can be watched on Twitch, but it's not the main reason why most individuals are going to Twitch to watch the content. I mean, tell me if I'm, you know, incorrect on that.
No, you're right.
Yeah. So because of that, when you have a VOD that is, you know, finished on Twitch, it would be good for you to consider either uploading that VOD on YouTube or cutting it up with some dope moments and putting that on YouTube so you can have and start building your base on the YouTube platform. And I think that that to me has been more attractive, even if you're not actively, you know, doing stuff on a YouTube platform. At least you know that based on your stats, people can, you know, come back and watch your content or see your new content. I saw one video that I did maybe a couple of months ago. The video had like 43,000 views and it was a how-to video. But my thing is, like, you never know what video is going to pop on YouTube based on the fact that, let's say, you cut out 12 minutes of, you know, super multiplayer action that you were doing. You did a quick intro for it, you know, kind of do a lead in for that particular thing. And I think that you really have to think about things a little bit different. And then the other thing, too, going back to what you were saying before about the hate raids and stuff like that, YouTube is not playing that game. That's not going to happen on that platform. So if you're really trying to be serious about your content, if you want to leave the high school drama stuff behind, which I think there's a lot of that stuff on Twitch, you're not going to find that on YouTube. I don't think it happens. You may hear people talk about a story that took place on another platform just to give you like a, you know, 10 minute here, 12 minute here or something that happened and they're trying to get past it or something like that. But when it comes to the high school drama stuff, I only see that on a Twitch platform. So now the question becomes, you know, that was a long way around the mountain. Is YouTube doing it better?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that, no.
Okay.
I think every platform is going to have their little high school dramas and issues, whether it be with the platform itself or amongst other content creators or viewers. There's always that dynamic is always going to be there. I really don't like that dynamic. I try not to add into it, but I think that's always going to be there. It's just that Twitch happens to be a lot louder and it's a lot more advertised, I guess you can say.
Okay, that's fair. So to be fair, you know, as I mentioned, the Twitch drama stuff and high school stuff, we have seen streaming houses have different high school drama and they brought that on YouTube by way of telling their story about what happened on a particular thing, right? And, you know, some people were affected by that negatively in so many different ways. But we've seen different popular streaming houses have their conflict and share those stories on YouTube. We've seen that. Is that high school drama? It could be to some degree, depending on how the framework is for those stories. But yes, every platform has its thing, you know, just to be fair. But at the end of the day, right, if you're looking to build your brand, right, that could be done on any of the platforms. So if you were starting today, here's a different question. What would you choose?
For me, I think it'd be Glimish, the newest one.
Okay. How come?
Simply because right now I have a profile on there, but I haven't streamed on that platform yet. I would say because right now I like where they're starting. Obviously in like 5-6 years that can change. But it kind of reminds me a lot about what Twitch was originally when it started. It was something that was kind of like they really listened to what the users we're saying. There's a lot of feedback and tools being implemented because, you know, the users feel like this will help us, this will protect us, let's do this. It's really right now at this point, it's kind of community built. And I really love and I really appreciate that. Obviously, if they get, you know, bigger, they get, you know, extra funding and investors to really enhance these things, because a lot of it right now is kind of like they can make the platform itself, Glimish itself, can make some money off of, you know, people who sub and subscribe and putting that money forward. But if they get investors, obviously those investors are going to be thinking about like, how can we make more money? That dynamic can change. But right now what they're doing, and if they really stick to, you know, a little bit more catering to what the users are saying and concerns about, I think can be a really huge thing. Probably the platform after that I would consider would be YouTube, then Twitch, then Facebook. Sorry, Facebook, you're going to be at the bottom of the list there.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. I think that every platform has a thing that pulls individuals to that platform. Twitch has always been, from what I've seen, the community. People are like well ingrained, you know, they bleed purple, if you will, all that good stuff or whatever. And it's very interesting to see, and I guess we'll touch on this and then we'll talk about the last topic, how big streamers that we've seen a long time on the Twitch platform, they are cutting big deals with YouTube, right? Tim the Tatman just recently moved this week, to my understanding, And then Dr. Lupo moved recently. I'm not sure exactly when, but recently moved as well. So YouTube, the gaming team at YouTube, they're making sure that that platform, especially if you love those individuals, Dr. Lupo, Tim the Tatman, Courage, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All the individuals that are making their move to the YouTube platform, they're making it very attractive for individuals to consider checking out the YouTube platform. And good for the streaming space. Do you like seeing deals get cut like that? Or what are your thoughts when you see moves like that happening for streamers or any content creator, any platform?
I think it's great for them. Honestly, I do. I mean, I don't watch Dr. Lupo. I don't watch Tim the Tatman. I know their history. I know what they contributed. I know what they do. I just personally don't watch them for no reason particular. But I think it's always huge. I think that is the dream there, you know? When you get into content creation, whether it be live or you started off just doing, you know, pre-recorded YouTube videos, like as a content creator, you want to, when you decide to dive into it and, you know, I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to work hard and get there. That is a dream that you want to be able to make a good amount of income that you can take care of yourself and you are your own boss. Like the only person you're answering to is yourself. Like I think not even just as a content creator, as an entrepreneur, period, as a small business owner, you are your business and you have to make those choices that are best suited for you. So when I hear those things, whether it be one of a creator that I know or I've heard of or someone I didn't know, I'm stoked for them. Because even though I didn't get to follow them on their journey to where they're at to be able to get there, I know it was a lot of work. And they deserve that. And people should be proud and happy for them. You know, obviously there's some people, some fans who feel betrayed for whatever reason. Like if you are a real true fan of somebody, you're going to be stoked no matter what they do. Even if you feel like, okay, now they're just the face of whatever gamer supplements there is. You know what? They're getting paid. They worked hard to be offered that deal. You don't have to buy whatever gamer sub or drink or whatever it may be. But you should still be happy for them. You should still support them. Even if it's in the free way of like sending them a tweet, congratulations, liking it, putting out their, like, you know, retweeting their stuff. Like that's a huge thing for them. And really you got to stick really hard to like, you have to, because you're subbing to them for like $5, $10, $25 a month does not give you any say about what that person is going to do, where they're going to be. And I think there's a really huge mix in that where people feel like they're obligated because like, oh, I am subbing to you for $5 a month. You should be here. No, they don't have to. Because they know they're like Dr. Lupo and Tim Tatman, and they know they're going to lose a certain amount of fan base making this transition. It happened to Ninja when he went from Twitch to Mixer and back. Obviously, he did not get that same amount of love back following him to Mixer and then back. But I appreciate the work. I'm happy for those people. I'm happy for, I think last month or was it July? I can't remember. Like a lot of content creators got to see their face in New York Times Square and they're flown out to go and see it. And that's like a huge crowning achievement for them. I think this month they've been like a lot of YouTube gaming content creators have been doing like being put up there. Like that's a huge thing for them. That's something that's like on a milestone that doesn't happen to a lot of people. And it doesn't just get handed out freely. Like what a lot of people don't see is the amount of work. It doesn't matter what platform you're starting on, moving to, like that is a lot of work these people had to put into there. And you have to appreciate that. And like, which is funny because I'm thinking about that clip that I posted about that guy crying to Logan Paul.
Okay, so since you brought that up, what happened with that situation? Just for context.
So, okay. So the 22-year-old guy quit his job 2 days prior. He's making 100K a year, which I'm sorry. I have been working for my company for 16 years, going on 17 years. I don't even make 100K a month or a month, a year. I mean, I don't make 100K. Like, I have to work some extreme overtime hours every single pay period before I hit that six figure mark. But this dude is 22 years old, quit his job and making 100K because he wants to pursue a dream, of being, you know, a content creator, an entertainer. And he sneaks in to go and see Paul Logan, which I'm assuming I don't pay attention. Okay. I don't pay attention to Paul Logan. I don't like the content that he puts out. He's not my type of creator, but I know that man has done stuff. I know that his way of garnering his audience and his, you know, his success, if you want to call it, it doesn't really jive with what I like. But that's me. But doesn't mean that he didn't work hard for it. So I'm assuming he had a fight. I don't know. I have no clue what was going on that this dude snuck in to go and see him. He got called out on it that he snuck in. And he asks Paul Logan for a job. And he straight up asks. And this is, as much as I say, I really don't like his content. I really don't like his methods of getting that attention, because it's just not my type of personality. I have some actual respect for how honest he was to this guy. Like, okay, what can he do? Oh, nothing. I'm 22 years old. I just quit my job. I'm like, dude, you had an opportunity. He's not having you dragged out. He's not ignoring you. He actually stopped, told his people, I'm invested. I want to listen to this. And took the time to listen to your story. And the first thing you're going to tell him is, I want a job, but I can't do anything. That's not how this works. Like, that screams entitlement. Like, oh, I did this so I can come and meet you. Like, and that offers you what? You're lucky that he's giving time to you right now. And you didn't come with anything. He's like, oh, I do TikTok. Oh, what's your following? He's like, oh, you know, I do these dances. Like, that is like, that is a huge thing. Okay. It's one thing. Like, I spend some time on TikTok and I find it fun. I find it entertaining. But if all you're going to do is just kind of do your own little ripoffs of all these other dances that are on there and expect something or think that you're going to make something of it, you need a reality check. You need a serious reality check, because, yeah, there's some people who find success on it doing those things, but a lot of them are very creative about it. Their editing is really cool. It's really eye-catching. Either they create up their own dance moves. They're informative, but I can guarantee you that they're not just copying somebody else's.
So you
they're
don't
just
like
not remixing it. They're not just duetting it. They're doing more.
So you don't like Logan Paul after that?
Oh, I kind of do. Like, I have respect for it, because this guy, he like, one of his sentences is in there in his reply to this guy that really, really hit, like, I have respect for you, was he told this guy, Paul told this guy of, like, hey, I can't be a mentor. I need a mentor. I screw up. I need that. I have my brother. Like, this guy was straight up honest. He's like, I have my own ups and downs. You know, I screw up a lot. I need to be taught a lot of these things. I can't be teaching you what I'm still learning myself. Certainly can't give you a job if you can't offer me anything. Like, come on. You don't go to a job interview and say, like, I don't have any real skills. Okay. Maybe there's some people who can because they know the right people. But in a real world situation, you got to offer something. You got to be good at something. There's got to be something that sticks out about you for somebody to want to take a chance on you. Not like, I just quit my 100K job to sneak in to see you. Please hire me. And then when he gets denied and given that real truth that people really do need to hear, sit in your car and cry about it. Like, for real?
Yeah.
Obviously, he's getting the attention now because he did that. But it's more people, like, kind of making fun of him. Like, you for real, dude?
Yeah, he's for real.
Wait, what were you expecting? How did this play out in your head? How is it that leading up into this moment of the possibility of meeting him, did you not go over thousands of times of, well, what am I going to say to him?
Nah, I
assure you that if I was going to go through that,
he believed that he was just going to walk in and get a deal.
And that screams entitlement to me. This is somebody else. This is entitlement for, hey, I am a cis white male. Obviously, if I'm making 100K at 22 years old, that was handed to me because dear daddy gave it to me. Or mommy, I don't know. There's no way I'm going to be turned down. Yeah. Nah, bruh. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he wanted to cry on social media. That's a thing that I see a lot of people do now. Like, it gets attention, it gets clicks. I'm sure it's, you know, genuine, but he didn't have a plan. Let's just be real.
He has no plan at all. But it's not even just him. And like I was saying, leading up to this, is that you do not see the hard work and the countless hours people put into what they do to get to the success that they are. It might seem like it was overnight for some people because, hey, maybe you just found out about them a year ago and they weren't as big, but now they're even bigger. So over a year, they got to this fame. No, that comes with like years and years of, you know, like trial and error, of mistakes, of like figuring out what works for them. And consistently doing it for years. One of my long time content creators was from YouTube, which is Michelle Phan. She is a OG beauty guru on YouTube who started just putting up videos. Like, she was in college, she was in art school, and she would just occasionally put up these makeup tutorials, but it really caught on because there's not a lot of people doing that at that time. And over the last, I want to say decade plus now, she now owns her own makeup company. She like has her own independent music label. She still occasionally does, you know, YouTube videos, not nearly as much, but that's like decade plus worth of work that she put in to get to that point that nobody really knows about. And over those years, and this is why I say, like, that whole YouTube drama, whatever, high school drama, that has been on there. I've seen her be dragged through things. I've seen her, you know, be called out on things that, you know, I think for some people came out of jealousy, because a lot of her YouTube contents, like, sometimes she would edit them in ways that it wasn't the standard, that was elevated above what people were doing at that time. And people didn't have those skills yet, and she was experimenting. So you can't just walk into another content creator or another entertainer who has as a success and ride their coattails. Am I to say that there's content creators and that will not help other people? No. There are content creators that are willing to open the doors for others, leave that door open for them, and help those. But those that are willing to put in the work have shown that they put in the work. Not just because, like, hey, I see you did this, you're really great, can you do this for me?
So you mean to tell me I can't start a YouTube channel today and be, like, super successful by mimicking people that I really like on the platform?
you can be inspired by people that you have on that platform, but you can't expect to follow their exact formula and find that same amount of success. You got to do something that's different, because if you're just copying somebody else's, you're not helping yourself. You're not finding your voice. You're doing somebody else's work. You're taking somebody else's image and trying to make it your own. And that doesn't work. You got to add a flair that is you. Like I can't remember the TikTok, the original video. It's this one dude who took a drone and he's like dancing on a mountaintop. I don't remember the song, but he's not doing anything great, but it looked really great visually. It's a very pretty stunning like capture. It's not the most innovative thing, but it was unique. It was different. And then I think he had like Bella Poarch, like, he did one with Bella Poarch shortly after that one. He did one with Jason Derulo. And then now you have a bunch of TikToks of people copying him. They're not going to find that same success. Do they get some numbers on it? Yeah, they do. But people are going to go and find that original video because they know that this is the guy, this is the first person who did it. They know why those people are getting that success. So you're really helping out that person more than you are helping yourself.
Looking for the best VPN in the world? Your search is over. From the makers of Proton Mail comes Proton VPN, the best free VPN in the world. Proton VPN is Swiss-based, has a no-locks policy, offers the highest strength encryption, strong VPN protocols, and all apps are open source and audited. To try Proton VPN for free, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools.
So you can't just expect to find overnight success. Is it possible? Yes. It is incredibly rare, though. But you have to come up with something that is so vastly unique to you that nobody has seen before. And that's what gets harder and harder as a content creator, is finding something that hasn't been done or hasn't been done to its max potential yet.
Yeah, just be you. That's a safe bet. Just be you and learn about the platform. Learn how you can maximize the things on the platform, whether that's for discovery. Learn how to properly title your stuff, you know, using enticing words, not clickbait, enticing words to deliver on the other side of that particular content. You may have to learn how to do thumbnails, or at least try to make your thumbnail look halfway decent that people want to click on it. So with Twitch, you may not necessarily need to do the thumbnail stuff, but just get better on the microphone by talking on it over and over and over again, right? You got to get your hours in. I don't know how many hours we have on the mic. Or we've had some time on the mic, right? A lot of hours.
Yeah.
I don't know how many hours, but it's a lot, right? And I think that it sounds like it's easy for us because we've had a lot of time on it, for sure.
Well, considering we're on episode 592, at the bare minimum, 592 hours.
Right. Absolutely. Last but not least, let's tackle this, and then we are going to wrap. PlayStation Showcase, that is coming up, right? And
yep.
I'm in the PC world. I'm having a good time. Crossplay is here. I could play, you know, Destiny with my people on the console, and we have a great time using the Xbox app on PC. I don't know what I'm expecting from PlayStation right now that's going to be like a game changer. I know the Horizon Zero Dawn thing, they kind of did a U-turn on that to make it a free upgrade for the Horizon Zero. Well, you know, Horizon people.
They were really quick to turn that around.
Absolutely.
The voices were heard across the world.
So what are you expecting? I'm not expecting anything. What are you expecting?
Actually, nothing. They already announced on their blog that they're not going to be talking about the next gen PSVR. So that's out. And that's really the only thing I think I'm looking forward to is hearing more about is their next gen VR. Other than that, it's kind of like, cool, whatever you bring me, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm not, it's weird. I kind of have what I want already right now.
Right.
So I'm pretty solid. So if they have some new indie games that are coming out, okay, I'm there. But it's kind of like how like the Xbox Gamescom went. I was like, kind of like, yeah, okay, that's cool. I feel like that's all the same way I'm going to be about PlayStation 2. Like, all right, nothing wow, nothing is right now I'm expecting to wow me or I'm anticipating.
Yeah, I will watch it and we'll just see what happens, right? I think that's where we are. And that is the that is this week. That's on Thursday the 9th, right?
Yep.
So looking forward to seeing what they're going to show. And if anything, maybe we see some cool trailers and then go from there. But that's it, right?
Yeah, that's kind of it. I think they're from PlayStation. There's obviously going to be some updates to games that we already know that are coming out. Like, obviously, Horizon's going to be on there. I assume God of War Ragnarok. Oh, maybe Project Asea.
Okay.
I think that one I would want to see more of. But I think that's it. That's all that really comes to my mind for it.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's it. Any final words? And we'll wrap?
Just to touch back on it. If you're looking to get into content creation, whatever platform it may be, I think the first thing you really need to think about is start it off as a hobby. Doesn't mean that you should put your least amount of effort into it, but set your expectations to something that's a little bit more realistic to see if it's something that you want to do. Because it does take a lot of work. If you're working a full-time job, having to balance, you know, your job, your family life, your personal life, your mental health, well-being, and being a content creator, you will see a lot of content creators, especially the ones that have been in the game for a very long time, reach a burnout point of exhaustion, because content creation, if you decide to do it full time, is way more hours than a full time job will ever be. It is a constant learning curve because the platforms change, advertising and marketing yourself always change, and you have to be kind of on those things. So start it off as a hobby. It doesn't mean that you cannot find success or what you feel will be success for yourself. But don't be discouraged. Don't ask for free handouts. It doesn't really come. That's just being realistic about it. You work your way quite a while to be able to get to that point. You can't just be like, hey, I stream on so-and-so, can I have a free key? Hey, I stream on so-and-so. I have a concurrent of like 15. Can you fly me out and I will help promo this? Like, no, it doesn't work that way. But doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. That's all.
Cool. Yeah, definitely awesome tips there. Definitely archive your stuff on YouTube if you can. Find a way to do that. And don't work so hard. I know that working hard is the thing that people believe will get them results, right? But definitely journal what works and what doesn't work, so you can get right to that and continue creating awesome content. I mean, that's all I have there. So thank you guys for listening to episode 592. Danielle, you're always amazing. I appreciate you very, very much. And guys, definitely follow Danielle. You can find her at Miss DJM, at Miss DJM on Twitter. Definitely join the Discord. I'll have the links on theshowradio.info. Definitely check that out there, theshowradio.info. You can follow me on YouTube. My mind is getting back into the YouTube grind. I kind of took a little break during the summer. YouTube.com/Andrew Alliance. Once again, that's YouTube.com/Andrew Alliance. Alliance, and guys, thanks for tuning in. And Daniela?
Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.